What's up, y'all, and welcome to another episode of Drop Balls Podcast, your favorite podcaster's favorite sports podcast. Yes, you heard me right. Your favorite podcaster's favorite sports podcast. Hope y'all are having a good week so far. Yes, I do understand it is only Tuesday, but sometimes, man, Mondays can be a doozy, especially after having a good weekend, and you just don't want to go back to work on Monday, or even if the weekend just went by way too fast, and you're like, man, I don't want to go back to work on Monday. So I hope y'all had a good Monday. Hope y'all are having a good Tuesday, and I hope y'all have been able to catch some of this Olympics. The U.S. is up right now in the medal count, I believe, so I hope y'all have been able to enjoy that. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or whatever, please leave your boy that 5-star rating and leave your boy some comments. Let me know what you like, what you dislike, what you would like to see on the show. All of the above. Let your boy know how he can get better and produce a better product for you all. Before we get started with this episode, because we do have a lot to unpack, a lot has gone on since I last talked to you all last Tuesday. I do want to let you all know this episode has been brought to you by King's Ransom Apparel. If you haven't done so, check out krathletics.com. Be sure to use the code DROPBALLS to get 15% off of your first purchase. And pass it along to your friends, your family, whatever. Also got some Drop Balls merchandise coming soon. I will be adding to the website. Yes, this is my clothing line. So I will be adding to the website soon some more Drop Balls, some Drop Balls merch. Also, this episode is being brought to you by Thrive Fantasy App. If you like making prop bets, come prop up with us. Hit that link down in the description. Come prop up with us and make some prop bets. They only ask you about the top tier athletes in their respective sports, so they take all of the guesswork, all the research out of it. So click that link. It is available on the Google Play Store and the iTunes Store. Download it to your phone, sign up, and once you make your first deposit of a minimum $20, they will match you up to $50 on that initial deposit. So if you deposit $20, they'll match you $20. You deposit $30, they'll match you $30, so on and so forth, all the way up to $50. So be sure to download the app today. Football season's right around the corner. There's a lot of money to be made, so come make some money with your boy. But yeah, let's get into this episode, man. So first off, I do want to give a shout out to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Fuck, messed that up. Giannis Antetokounmpo for winning the NBA Finals. Him and the Milwaukee Bucks won the first Bucks Finals in 50 years. It's been 50 years since they won the NBA Finals. So hats off to him. Hats off to the whole Milwaukee Bucks team and organization. Giannis went dumb. He went dummy in that game six. I had the Suns winning in six. I had the right game, just the wrong team. And Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks proved me wrong. Giannis dropped 50 in that game with 14 rebounds and 5 blocks in a closeout game. And you could tell he was gassed. You could tell he left everything out there on the court. And he was doing his thing. He left it all out there that night in game six and did his damn thing. Not only that, but the man shot 17 for 19 from the charity stripe. We all joked about Giannis shooting free throws. They did the whole countdown on how long it took for Giannis to do free throws. We joked about Giannis' shooting, but that night it seemed like Giannis could not miss in game six. From the free throw line and everything, it just seemed like he could not miss. He was on his A game, the definition of being locked in. And now you also got to give some credit to Jrue Holiday as well. The defense he played all series was amazing. He did a great job on Chris Paul and Devin Booker, especially in game six. In games three through six, he had a combined plus minus of 56. He was plus 37 for the whole series. And after game six, Jrue should have been locked up for robbery, because every time he got the assignment on Devin Booker, he just stole the ball from him. Every time. He just peeled the ball from Devin Booker. And Devin Booker is a pretty decent ball handler. He just couldn't get it going against Jrue Holiday. Even in that game six, like he shot horribly in game six. He didn't have a good game at all. I like to joke on Chris Middleton's inconsistency, but Chris Middleton did have three games where he scored 29 plus points. But he also had three games where he scored under 20 points. So he was inconsistent, but he was the closer up until game six, where Giannis just did everything for the most part in game six. Did the heavy carrying, did all of that. Giannis did everything that they needed him to do in game six and more. But Chris Middleton was the closer up to that point. And everybody was talking about, oh, Chris Middleton, or not everybody, but, you know, the sports media heads. And I'm doing quotation marks for that because quotations around the sports. Anyway, they were saying that Chris Middleton deserved the MVP or deserved to be in the conversation. And I mean, to be honest, I don't think he did. When you look at what the stat line Giannis put up the whole series, he was averaging 13 rebounds, 1.8 blocks, 5 assists, and 61.8% from the field. So I don't know if Chris Middleton really deserved to be in the conversation or even deserved to receive any votes for MVP in that series or in that series. But I mean, I do got to give shouts out to Chris Middleton, shouts out to Jrue Holiday. They did their thing, especially on defense, to help Giannis and help the team get to that ultimate goal, and that's winning a championship. And now everybody's saying, oh, if KD's foot wasn't on the line, it'll be a different conversation. And I say if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. Nobody really cares about what-ifs and alternate universes besides the MCU. Like, that's all we care about in the MCU is these what-ifs and alternate universes. When it comes to real life in the NBA, we don't care about what-ifs. We don't care about what if KD's leg or foot was behind the line, then blah, 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 blah. I don't care about that because that's not what happened. We live in reality, and what happened was Giannis and the Bucks beat them and moved on, and they went to the finals, and they won the finals. I mean, everybody tries to find a way, especially on social media, everybody tries to find a way to discredit somebody's championship. I mean, I've seen Toronto Raptors fans say, oh, we're the only ones that won a championship outside of the pandemic in the last few years. Then you have all these other fans coming out talking about, oh, this is the emergency room championship, blah, 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 blah. Let social media tell it. The last team to actually win a legitimate championship was the 2014 San Antonio Spurs when they beat the Miami Heat. And I'm sure that somebody's going to find something about that series or that championship that will delegitimize everything that happened in that series or in that championship run. I mean, 2020 was what? The Mickey Mouse championship. 2019, people say the Raptors won because Klay and KD were hurt. Well, injuries are part of the game. That's what happens when you play sports. People get injured. Like that, LeBron has spoiled some of us because LeBron has been pretty much healthy his whole career until like the last few years, where, you know, he's had these little injuries, his growing, I think, in 2019, and then his ankle last year in 2020, or, you know, this past season. But everybody has some type of reason. So, like I said, Raptors, KD, and Klay were hurt. Klay tore his ACL, KD tore his Achilles. Then you have 2018, Golden State won it because they were the super team, and Chris Paul got hurt in the Eastern Conference Finals. 2017, Golden State was a super team, and Kawhi got hurt because Zaza Pachulia landed slid under Kawhi when Kawhi was shooting, and Kawhi landed and twisted his ankle, rolled his ankle or whatever. And even this year, Kawhi tore his ACL. So therefore the Clippers would have been in the finals, blah, 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 instead of the Suns. But I mean, whatever. Then you got 2016, Cleveland won because Dre was suspended for game 5. 2015, Golden State won because Kyrie and Kevin Love was hurt. So stop trying to delegitimize everybody's championship run. Some people don't make it to the champion to the NBA championships. Some people don't make it to the finals. Like, that's just what happens. So stop trying to delegitimize everybody's run because they worked hard to get there. Like, they worked their asses off to get to that point. And to even call these the emergency room championships, as if Giannis didn't get hurt, hyperextended his knee, and came back 5 days later and appeared in the NBA finals and balled the fuck out in the NBA finals. Like, miss me with that. Like, just miss it. Like, miss me with it. Miss me with it. But shouts out to Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Chris Paul. They did their thing this series. They did the best they could. Or not necessarily the best they could. They did what they could. They took what was given to them and tried to make, you know, what they could do, you know, out of it. Chris Paul had a really good game 6, but Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton were nowhere to be found. DeAndre Ayton was in foul trouble. And Devin Booker just didn't have an efficient game. He didn't have a really good game. But, you know, Monty Williams has to burden some of this load on this loss because he lined up DeAndre Ayton 1-on-1 against Giannis. And DeAndre Ayton got in foul trouble. And Giannis just had his way. Like, Giannis did whatever he wanted to do in game six. But Ayton and Booker will learn from this. They will grow, and they'll get better. And, I mean, you got Ayton, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton, who are now in Tokyo in the Olympics playing for the U.S. men's basketball team, who just lost to France on Sunday, early Sunday morning. It was like, I think the game aired at like 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. Pacific time. But they were playing, they're playing over there in Tokyo, and they lost to France. It wasn't like a blowout. It wasn't, you know, this terrible blowout game where they just got their asses kicked. It wasn't anything like that. But, you could just tell that they're not there yet. I think they will get there at some point over this Olympic run. I think they can, they have the possibility to win gold. I hope they win gold. You know, that's the ultimate, you know, achievement is to win gold. But they lost to France 83-76. So it wasn't like they got killed. But, you know, you had Evan Fournier, who dropped 28 on them. Then you had KD. You had Draymond, who got into foul trouble. I believe Draymond fouled out. And KD had like 5 fouls. But, you know, KD's going to have to carry this team. KD and Draymond, they're the veterans in the Olympic game. They know how tough it is. They know how tough FIBA rules are. So they should have let these young guns know, hey, this is a physical game when it gets to FIBA. It's not the same as playing back home in the NBA. What Luka even came out and said, it's easier to score in the NBA than it is in FIBA or in the international game because of the way the rules are. It's pretty much 90s rule where you can mug somebody that goes to the rim. Like, it's really like that. But also, U.S. didn't shoot very well from the field. They shot 36% from the field while France shot 47. France shot 60% from, you know, inside the three-point line. And U.S. shot 41%. So the U.S. didn't shoot very well. But, you know, they got out-rebounded. They led in assists. They had 23 assists. They only had 12 turnovers. So they was good in the turnover differential. They had 8 steals, 25 personal fouls, though. So they got to get the fouls down. And so, I mean, with FIBA rules, if you're fouling like that, then you're probably really fouling, right? So you got to get those fouls down. But like I said, I think they can win gold. Now, one person you really need to watch out for is that young gun, Luka Doncic. He did his thing with Slovenia against, I think it was Argentina. Dropped 48 points. So one person you know that's going to be able to score in the international game is Luka. Luka dropped 48 points on Argentina. Like, he went dummy on Argentina. And I expect him to continue to just put up crazy numbers throughout this whole, and this is his Olympic debut. So I believe he will continue to put on crazy numbers. And it's crazy because you would think that people would be able to shoot, but even on Team USA, it just looked like they couldn't shoot. I swear they're using bubblegum rims, and if you don't hit nothing but net, it's going to bounce off the rim and bounce out. And I don't know if you all remember, if you played basketball growing up, but going to the park, they had the double rims, had the bubblegum rims, all of that. So if it was nothing but net, the ball probably wasn't going to go into the hoop. But like I said, Luka dropped 48. He had, I believe it was like 11 rebounds, 5 assists. He was 18 for 29 from the field. He was 6 for 14 from 3. He had a crazy-ass game. Then we had the women's game. The U.S. women's team played on, Monday night. Played at 9:40. I'm sorry for those of you on the East Coast. I know y'all had to stay up and watch this game. But it was great to see all over Twitter, all the, you know, all the basketball heads, all the sports people that I follow and that follow me on Twitter. By the way, y'all go follow your boy on Twitter at DropBallsPod. I do follow back. Have a great time. But all of the people on Twitter stand up talking about the women's game. And for those people that think that women's basketball is boring or isn't entertaining, you don't know basketball. Like, it's a beautiful work of art to watch the women's basketball game. And at one point, I was that person that was just like, eh, women's basketball sucks. But now it's like I enjoy the game for what it is. And it's a really good game. And watching the United States women play, like, they were amazing. They started off kind of slow. They started off really slow, but they did their thing. They turned it around in the second quarter. I believe there was a run in the second quarter where they held Nigeria to 0 points for 6.5 minutes. Nigeria did not score for 6.5 minutes because USA turned up the defense and was running on offense. Like, they were doing their thing on offense. In the second quarter, at one point, it was like 25-20. Nigeria was up. And then next thing you know, U.S. went on like a 23-point run, or like a 23-0 run. And they ended the half 44-32. Like, USA really did that. But they did their thing. And when you look at Asia Wilson, hey, this is her Olympic debut. And she balled out. She had 19 points, 13 rebounds, I believe, 6 for 10 shooting. And she did her thing. And I believe Breonna Stewart, Stewie, she's going to get going sooner or later. Asia Wilson, she's going to continue to do her thing. But these women, like the U.S. team, they're a long team. They're a very long team. You have Asia Wilson, who's about 6'5". You have Brittany Griner, who I believe is like 6'8", 6'9". You have Stewie, who's about 6'5", something like that. Then you got Tina Charles, who's up there like 6'4", 6'5". You got Sylvia Fowles, who's 6'6". So, I mean, they're a very long team, and they're going to create a lot of problems going forward for pretty much any team that they play in the Olympics. But they did their thing tonight. Like, you know, I can't complain about what I saw tonight, besides that they started off slow. And then they let them come back in the second, in the fourth quarter. They start letting Nigeria come back. I think Nigeria came back within like 8 points. They beat Nigeria. What was the score? 81-72. They beat them by 9. But at one point, I believe they were up by like 17. So that just lets you know but Nigeria wasn't going to, it's Olympic basketball. They're not going to just go away, right? They're not going to just sit back and be like, oh, y'all beat us. We concede. No, they're going to fight and claw their way back into the game, no matter what, how much time is left on that clock. But this is their run, man. This is the women's basketball team run where they're looking for that seventh straight gold medal. And I think they can get it. They have a very good chance to get it. And you have Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, who they're part of this team. And they were part of the original teams, too. So, like, you have them, too, where they're looking to get that gold medal. They're looking to fight and claw their way to get that gold medal. And like I said, I think this group of women, I think they'll be able to get it done, and it's going to be in some nice fashion. They're going to get it done. Oh, by the way, like, I do want to talk about Simone Biles. I would be dismissed if I did not mention her in the Olympic conversation. She's doing her thing. She didn't have a great run for qualifications, but she still qualified in all four medal events for gymnastics. So I expect her and the rest of Team USA, because none of Team USA really did that well, but they still placed second in the qualifying round. So I expect them to get on their shit and do their thing going forward. And I still think USA will win that gold medal and, you know, bring that gold thing home. Simone Biles, she's going to go out there and do her thing. Her floor routine was crazy. If you all have seen the highlights of that on social media, that floor routine was crazy. Some of the stuff she does, it's just like, how the hell do you get your body to move like that? I understand you got to be flexible and stuff, but just some of the stuff she does, man, like, humans should not be able to do at all. But hats off to her, man. I think she's going to bring home the gold. U.S., like I said earlier, we are leading in the medal count. We have 9 gold medals, 5 silver medals, 8 bronze medals. China is close second. We have 22 total medals. China has 21. We have 1 more bronze medal than China does. They have 7. They have 9 gold medals, 5 silver, 7 bronze. So China's a close second, but it's going to be between us, I think, when it's all said and done. But hey, I'm gonna take a quick little break, and when we come back, I want to get into some football, NCAA, NFL, all of the above. So we're gonna take that quick little break, and we'll be right back.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby, I took a half and she took the whole thing. Slow down. Baby, we took a trip, now we on your block and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did these niggas be at when they said they doing all this and all that? Tired of beefing you bums, you can't even pay me enough to react. Been waking up in the crib and sometimes I don't even know where I'm at. Please don't pay that nigga songs in this party, I can't even listen to that. Anytime that I run into somebody, it must be a victory lap, ayy. Shawty come sit on my lap, ayy. They saying Drizzy just snap. This in between us is not like a store, this isn't a closable gap, ayy. I see some niggas attack, and don't end up making it back. I know that they at the crib, going crazy, down bad. What they had didn't last, damn baby. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby, I took a half and she took the whole thing. Slow down. Baby, we took a trip, now we on your block and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did these niggas be at when they said they doing all this and all that?
I'm in the trenches, relax. Can you not pet that little boy in the club? Cause we do not listen to rest. We in Atlanta, I buy her wig, she telling me Tay is the best. Point at the nigga who act like a killer, but you only one from the net. I'm like the baby, I'm not just a rapper. You play with me, you gon' get stretched.
And the money's hard to make, so I bet they on their face right now. I know that they at the crib, going crazy, down bad. What they had didn't last, damn baby. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby, I took a half and she took the whole thing. Slow down. Baby, we took a trip, now we on your block and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did these niggas be at when they said they doing all this and all that? When he tell the story, that's not how it went. Know they be lying 100%. Moved out of risk and forgot about it been. Now they just called me to tell me come get it. Now that boy off and I don't want no credit. If it was me, they wouldn't regret it. Left me for dead and now they won't dead it. Yeah. Heart is still beating, my niggas still eating. Backyard it look like the garden eating. Pillow talk with him, she spilling the tea. And then shorty came back and said she didn't mean it. I know that they at the crib, going crazy, down bad. What they had didn't last, damn baby. Sometimes we laugh and sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Baby, I took a half and she took the whole thing. Slow down. Baby, we took a trip, now we on your block and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where these niggas be at when they say they doing all this and all that?
All right, welcome back from that quick little music break. That was Drake, Laugh Now, Cry Later. Hope you all enjoyed that. But let's get back into this, man. So football is right around the corner, right? And lately we've had a lot of stuff come out, whether it's NCAA, NFL, whatever, a lot of stuff coming out about football. Just recently we had Oklahoma and the University of Texas say or come out that they were going to apply to join the SEC. After a while, I guess they agree with the Big 12 that they would apply after 2025 and they would go join the SEC. One of the things I think that needs to happen is if OU and UT go to the SEC, if this actually does happen, as of right now, the Big 12 needs to get on the phone with the NCAA and another conference to see about a conference merger. And so one of the conferences that I believe that should be is the AAC, the American Athletic Conference. Now, with OU and Texas leaving, I also think Iowa State and West Virginia should leave and go to the Big 12 or Big 10, my bad. And the Big 12 should merge with the AAC. Now, I think one of the teams in the AAC should leave and go to the ACC. Now, follow me. I'm going to put it all together, put it all in perspective. With the AAC, you have UCF that's in that conference. Now, UCF believes that they are a national contender. They are a title contender. And with that, if you think you are that, then join one of these Power Five conferences. Go join the ACC, one of the most notable conferences in the, you know, in the nation. Go join them and put up and shut up. Put your money where your mouth is. With Iowa State and West Virginia going to the Big Ten, is regionally or geographically, it makes sense. And also that will give the Big Ten, I believe it's like 12 teams or something like that. So that'll, or maybe 14 teams, somewhere around there. So that'll be that. Now you only have 6 teams in the Big 12, right? And then you have now 10 teams in the AAC. If they merge, that combines them for 16 teams. And now you have a conference that is pretty good at basketball and also pretty good in football. The only team that I think sucks in football in that conference would really be KU, to be honest, because they're terrible. But you put them together, and like I said, it gives them 16 teams. You can divide that conference into divisions, just 2 divisions, so that way you have a conference championship game. So that way you give yourself more clout to make it to the college playoffs. Now, I don't know if they're going to expand the college playoffs to 16 teams or 8 teams, whatever. That's all speculation. That's all going on right now. Most coaches don't really like that, besides the coaches in the small schools. They think it should be expanded because they think they should have a chance to make these playoffs as well. But I think with doing that, you're going to have to cut down the regular season so that way you can add these extra games at the end of the season for the playoffs, because you don't want those kids going through, I don't know, going through putting all that on their bodies. Even though I guess with the NIL stuff, they're probably going to try to justify on why they should have more games, even though it's not the schools that are paying these kids. But I think that's what should happen. I think if OU and UT leaves, I think West Virginia, Iowa State should leave. I think UCF should go to the ACC, and then the AAC and the Big 12 merge and combine and form one conference. So that way we still have all of our Power Five conferences. And I know, I guess if UCF does go and stays in the AAC, then they will merge with the Big 12 and it'll be a Power Five conference. But then the conference will be uneven, just like the AA or the ACC right now has 15 teams because, or not the A, yeah, the ACC has 15 teams because Notre Dame is currently in there. And I believe Notre Dame's going to be in there for another season. I don't know. I think Notre Dame should just stay in the ACC permanently. Move UCF over there. Now you have 16 teams divided back into divisions, how it used to be, where we had the Coastal and the Atlantic divisions. And boom, there you go. Conference championships, all of that. But UCF, they can put their money where their mouth is and, you know, fight for that national positioning to get a national title, since they believe they belong there. Move on to the NFL. We had some more news come out. I believe Sunday morning I woke up to the men's Team USA losing to France. And then I also woke up to Deshaun Watson saying that he was going to go to training camp with the Houston Texans. So that way he didn't have to pay $50,000 a day for missing training camp. Now, the man still has 22 civil cases looming over his head for sexual misconduct and sexual harassment. So he still has that going for him. And to me, the cases are still a little fishy. It's still a little skeptical. I'm still a little skeptical about him. I'm not saying that Deshaun is not 100% a pervert. I mean, I think there's some legitimacy to some of these cases. As many as there are, I don't know about that, but I think there is some legitimacy to these cases. I believe he is a huge perv if this stuff actually did go on. But one of my biggest issues right now is, with everything that has come out, why is he not on the commissioner's exempt list? I mean, at this point, I believe that he's a distraction to the league. He's a distraction to his team. And not only that, why has the league been investigating this for 4 months? Why haven't they found a conclusion and then put his ass on the commissioner's exempt list? It also came out Monday morning or Monday that 10 of these cases were filed in the police department. They were filed with the police. 10 cases have been filed with the police for criminal stuff. And eight of the women that filed with the police, they also filed the civil suits. And two women that did not file civil suits, they filed criminal, you know, criminal suits or criminal stuff as well. So this means that now this is really up to 24 cases looming. And then not only that, but then Houston came out saying they wanted to trade Deshaun Watson, or they're willing to trade Deshaun Watson, but they want 3 first round draft picks and 2 early round draft picks. So how crazy does that sound to want all of this return for a player that teams aren't going to even know is eligible to play at this point? As of right now, yes, he's eligible to play, but what if they trade for him and then before the season starts, he gets put on the commissioner's exempt list? I think he goes on this week. That's my opinion. I think that's going to happen this week. But who knows with the NFL? They always end up getting DV cases and sexual harassment stuff wrong with this league. So I don't know what happens with that. But I think he goes on the exempt list this week. But that's the thing. Like, you want a team to bet the farm on this player, to give up everything for this one player. And granted, Deshaun Watson is a generational talent. The man is talented. Undeniably, he's talented. But you want them to bet the farm, and there's really no notion of security there because you don't know. It's a bunch of unknowns at this point. You don't know what's going to happen. So it's just crazy to me that, I mean, it's just crazy. They're asking for too much, and I mean, it's kind of dumb. Like, they're drunk if they really think they're going to get that much for Deshaun Watson after everything that's going on. It sucks that you're going to probably lose out on a generational talent and not really get much in return. But that's just how the dice are going to roll here. That's what's going to happen. Then we move on to Green Bay. And apparently Aaron Rodgers has came back. He will be in camp this week for the Green Bay Packers. Him and Devontae Smith, or Devontae Adams, my bad. Devontae Smith plays for the Eagles. But Devontae Adams, they'll be in camp this week. And Aaron Rodgers, I guess the Packers and them came with some concessions. He wants Randall Cobb back. They're going to try to get Randall Cobb. He's going to be able to be traded next year, I believe, 2022, before the 2022 season. That's one of the concessions they were giving him that they promised him. So he's going to run it back this year, see what they can do. But I don't know. It's crazy. All of this stuff for the quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers is great. Don't get me wrong. But it's a lot. I believe they should have just traded Aaron Rodgers. My prediction was that Jordan Love was going to be out Drew Lock for the starting quarterback position in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers was going to get traded to Denver. Obviously, that's not coming true. Maybe next year that'll happen. But as of right now, that's not coming true. But it's just crazy how all of this had played out, because before it was like, oh, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play for the Green Bay Packers. He's never going to play another down for the Green Bay Packers. He's not coming back, this, that, and the third. And now all of a sudden, oh, Aaron Rodgers has arrived back to Green Bay, and he's going to play with the Green Bay Packers this year. He's going to be in camp and all this and all that. So it's been a crazy roller coaster ride with the Green Bay Packers and this whole Aaron Rodgers saga. And then you see a bunch of people who are like, forget Aaron Rodgers, let him go. This, that, and the third. We don't need him here. He was never part of us. But then you see the people that want to keep him there and think he's, you know, the second coming of Jesus. He's a great football player and all of this other stuff. And like I said, you have the other people that are like, he never fit here. He's a prima donna. We don't want him. And so it's crazy to see. But that's football fans for you, right? That's just what happens. You have everybody that's on two separate ends of the spectrum. So that... it's just a crazy time. One of the main things I want to talk about today was that the NFC West, in my opinion, is one of the better divisions in the NFL, if not the best division in the NFL. And the reason I say this is because the NFC West has always been known for, you know, their hard-nosed football, their defense, run game. You had Seattle that had one of the best rushing attacks. You had San Francisco, who just a few years ago was probably the best rushing attack, three-headed monsters in the backfield with Mostert, what's the other one, Tevin Coleman, and I forget the other running back name, but they had their little monster backfield. Then you had the LA Rams, who had Todd Gurley back there. Arizona ain't never really been like one of those big running teams. I mean, when they had David Johnson, when he was actually healthy, they were really good at running the ball. But then since then, it's been more pass happy team, especially with Cliff Kingsbury. He's brought that college offense up to the NFL. But this year, I think they're going to return back to dominance, and I think they're going to be the best division in the NFL. And the reason that is because, especially with Arizona, they've added a bunch of – they've added to their high-flying offense, right? So this offseason, they drafted Rondell Moore from Purdue. And now Rondell Moore, he has some issues with his hamstring. And when you're that small and that explosive, I believe he's probably one of the most explosive receivers or players in this past, in the 2021 draft. He was one of the most explosive players, if not the most explosive player in this draft. But when you're that explosive, you're going to have some issues with your hamstring. Look at Terrence Ross when he, I think that was his name. The dude out of University of Washington that went to Cincinnati. He was very explosive. He was fast as hell, but hamstring kept giving out on him. And Rondell Moore, he has some issues with that. And now it'll get better, but then some every now and then it may give you some issues. But he's slated to be the fourth receiver on the depth chart in this offense behind AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk. But the thing is with Arizona, they're one of the teams that run 10 personnel more than anybody else in the league. So he's going to see a lot of action on the field if he's the fourth receiver. He's going to be out there a lot. And 10 personnel, for those of you who don't know, is one running back, no tight ends, four receivers. That's 10 personnel. And so he'll be out there a lot on their offense. Not only that, but they tried to beef up that defense because if you remember last year, they drafted Isaiah Simmons. And they still... With Isaiah Simmons, it's kind of tricky because they still don't really know what to do with him. And the thing with Isaiah Simmons is, dude is legit. Like, he can pretty much line up anywhere on the field, and he's gonna make plays. That's the type of player Isaiah Simmons is. But like this year, they drafted. Let me see. Was it last year they drafted Isaiah Simmons? Or maybe it was the year before last. Maybe I got the years mixed up. But anyway. Oh, no, they did draft him last year, 2020. Okay, but this year they drafted Zaven Collins at linebacker position out of Tulsa, which is one of the better linebackers in this draft. They got Rondell Moore. They drafted a safety and Marco Wilson. They really went mostly defense in this draft, which makes sense because they want to beef up that defense. They want that defense to be better. And to me, this is Cliff Kingsbury put up or shut up year. Like, you have to make things happen this year. You have a dynamic quarterback in Kyler Murray. You have dynamic receivers, especially if AJ Green can be remotely what he was in Cincinnati. Stay healthy. You have dynamic receivers, and you have two fast ass receivers in Christian Kirk and Rondell Moore, two explosive receivers that when they touch the ball, they can do a lot in space. So this year is really a put up or shut up year for Arizona, I believe, and for Cliff Kingsbury. They let Kenyon Drake go. They did bring in James Conner. They got J.J. Watt from Houston. They let Patrick Peterson go, but they went and got a corner in the draft. They got, Tay Gowan from UCF, which I think was a great pickup for them. Got A.J. Green, went and got Malcolm Butler from Tennessee, free agent. Kept some of their safeties. So they did a lot to try to keep most of their team intact. They did lose, though. They did lose a big piece in Hassan Reddick to Carolina. But I think they'll be all right with J.J. Watt. And hopefully Chandler Jones decides to stay here. Or stay not stay here, but stay in Arizona. There were some reports that he wanted a trade, but hopefully he does end up staying there. I know Arizona fans, Arizona Cardinals, they would be very happy for Chandler Jones to stay put in Arizona. But this is his last year on his contract, and they're not really close on the money that he wants, I guess. And I mean, he's 31 years old, so he does have to understand he's an aging player. This isn't basketball where you can be 31 and still see a huge contract, especially at certain positions, you know. But I mean, he's due his money. He's going to probably make some good money, but we'll see what happens. Then you have the LA Rams. And before we get into LA Rams, you know, I want to take another quick little break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the LA Rams and get into the rest of this division and why I think this is the best division in football.
Making a change today, the liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away, that's kinda like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. I can't just be with you, I'm only you. Yeah, I got one virtue, got one in that day, the only two. Man, how many times have I shown and proved? Man, how many nights I've been woke, swerving the potholes, not trying to fuck up the wheels on the road, okay? Funny how life goes, he thought he was sick, now we wiping his nose, okay? Soon as you give him your soul, you blow up and they say you're selling your soul, okay? They want my life exposed, they wanna know about the highs and lows. Well, summer all I did was rest, okay? And New Year's all I did was stretch, okay? And Valentine's Day I had sex, okay? We'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, hey, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, we'll see what's about to happen. I'm making a change today, the liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away, that's kinda like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. Hey, yeah, I got one lawyer, got one in that day, it's the only two. Man, how many times have I told you the truth? Man, how many nights I've been woke, swerving them potholes, not trying to fuck up the wheels or fuck up the deals. I'm posted in Stockholm, it's me, the Owls, and the Twins, it's only the real. I'm moving way too humble, Weezy and handed it off, I still got no fumbles. I'm on a hot 100, numero uno, this one ain't come with a bundle. I'm in the win, a million in chocolate chips, and that's just how my cookie crumble. I put a skirt on a whip and a crown on a six, but there's no need to dress up the numbers, ayy. Yeah, but I guess they must have their reasons. They wanna know how I'm living my day-to-day life in the regular season. Well, summer all I did was rest, okay? And New Year's all I did was stretch, okay? And Valentine's Day I had sex, okay? We'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen next, okay? Okay, okay, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, hey, we'll see what's about to happen. Hey, we'll see what's about to happen. I'm making a change today, the liquor been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away, that's kinda like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth.
All right, and we're back from that quick little break. Now, that was another Drake song. I'm feeling a little Drakey today. That was another Drake song, What's Next? Hope you all enjoyed that one. Getting a little into my music bag now. Now that I switched platforms where I can do more things with my podcast. But anyway, like I said, we're going to get into the LA Rams, right? So when we look at the LA Rams, they didn't do much in the free agency. But they did, you know, they had a lot of draft picks this year. Which was surprising, especially because they kind of sold the farm to go get Matt Stafford, which I think was pretty good. I think that was a great pickup for them, especially now because I believe Sean McVay can actually run his offense to full effect. Like, I don't think he could really do it with Jared Goff because I don't think Jared Goff was there to I don't think he was capable of running the offense, pushing the ball downfield and all this and all that. And at what point, you know, I thought – you know, Jared Goff was better than Dak Prescott, and now I'm recanting those statements. I really am. After the last few years, I'm recanting those statements just seeing him play for the LA Rams. But they went in. They went and got Matthew Stafford. I believe Matthew Stafford still has a big arm. He can still make all the throws. Some people aren't really sold on him as a quarterback, but I think he brings a certain toughness to that offense. And I think he brings. I think he can do things at the quarterback position that a lot of people can't do. Like I said, he has the arm talent. The arm is there. People will say, "Oh, he didn't make the playoffs with the Lions and all that." I mean, he made the wild card. They just didn't make it past that. But I don't know. A lot of other stuff was wrong with the Lions at that point. I mean, their defense wasn't that great. I believe he only had maybe one top 10 defense the whole time he was with the Lions. So I mean, there's a lot of other stuff. We can't always depend on the quarterback to, especially when you don't have other pieces around you. Like when you don't have a defense, the quarterback ain't just gonna get it done by himself. It's just not gonna happen. But anyway, the Rams went and got some. They went pretty even in this draft. They got some running backs. They got Jake Funk out of Maryland. They got some wide receivers, Jacob Harris out of Central Florida. They got Tutu Atwell, the small little receiver from Louisville, but he's hella fast. Got Ernest Jones at the linebacker position, Bobby Brown, defensive tackle from Texas A&M in the fourth round, which I think was a great pickup for them. They also got a defensive end, Chris Garrett out of Concordia. Got the receiver from Notre Dame, Ben Skowronek. Sorry if I'm butchering the last name. But he's about, 6'3", 6'4", something like that. So he's a bigger body receiver out of Notre Dame. In the free agency, like I said, they didn't make a lot of moves, but they did lose some players. Like they lost Troy Hill to the Cleveland Browns. They lost John Johnson III to the Cleveland Browns. But they did pick up DeSean Jackson. They got Kareem Orr from Tennessee. Who else did they get? Derek Rivers. They lost Derek Rivers to Houston. Who else did they get? Let's see. Yeah, they didn't really pick up a lot. I believe they only had 4 free agent signings. They also lost. They just lost their starting running back in Cam Akers. He tore his Achilles. So now Henderson is the starting running back. I think they should go get another running back, but maybe they have faith in their backup. But there's some running backs that's in the free agency that might be a good fit. You got Todd Gurley still there. You got Le'Veon still there. You got who's the other one? Hold on. Let me check real quick, because there's some other running backs that I think would be a good fit for this team. It'll be a really good fit for this team if they could pick them up. Oops, I did the wrong thing, but oh well, we'll get there. So just give me a second. Not Kenyon Drake, because Kenyon Drake is gone. He's already on a team. But let's see. Oh, that says fullback. Give me a second, y'all. Give me a second. Available. Here we go. Oh, TJ Yeldon. That was one of them that I think would be a pretty good pickup. Hold on. I thought, oh yeah, Le'Veon still is here. Then you got, nobody's going to probably pick up Alfred Morris. He's 33. Adrian Peterson's 36. You still got LeSean McCoy, who's 33. LeSean might be a good pickup. Even Deion Lewis, he might be a pickup as well. A great pickup, actually. I think Deion Lewis might be pretty good. TJ Yeldon, I think, would be good too, especially catching the ball out of the backfield. It'll be a good 1-2 punch with Henderson and TJ Yeldon, in my opinion. Other people might not agree with that, but in my opinion, I think that'll be great. But then we go to San Francisco 49ers, and man, San Francisco had about $70 million last year on the IR. Their team was hurt pretty much the whole season, from Garoppolo all the way to Bosa. I mean, it was just a lot of injured players. You had George Kittle, who was hurt. You had Tevin Coleman, that was hurt. You had, I think, Raheem Mostert was hurt a lot last year as well. So San Francisco was hurting last year. But this year, they did get a little bit better. In the draft, I believe they drafted another running back. I want to say it was Trey Sermon. If you know Trey Sermon, he played for OU. And then he ended up transferring to the Ohio State University. Let me make sure I get that correct. But then they also drafted Trey Lance in the first round with the 3rd overall pick. They got an offensive guard, Aaron Banks, in the 2nd round from Notre Dame. Ambry Thomas, cornerback out of Michigan. They got Lenore, the other cornerback out of Oregon. They got a safety out of Southern California, USC. And then Elijah Mitchell, the running back from Louisiana Lafayette. I'm not saying the safety's name out of USC because I don't want to butcher it. I don't want to mess it up. He's a Pacific Islander, so I don't want to mess any of that up. Don't want to butcher anybody's name. But they were pretty active in free agency as well. They did bring back they got Alex Mack. They brought back Trent Williams. They brought in Samson Ebukam from the Rams. If you remember him, he was their outside linebacker with the Rams, and they brought him in to San Francisco. They got DJ Jones. They kept him. Kaywan Williams kept him. They did let go of Richard Sherman, but they brought in Mohamed Sanu at the receiver position to get Garoppolo and Trey Lance some more receivers. I believe Trey Lance will be the starting quarterback sometime this season. They got Jaquiski Tart. McCall Pruitt from Tennessee. So they were pretty active in free agency. They got a lot of players in free agency, and they kept a lot of players from their team that was going into free agency. So that was good to see as well. So I think as long as that team can stay healthy, we'll see them return back to dominance, return back to the way they were. I do have the LA Rams winning this division though, just because I love what they have on offense and Matthew Stafford and the way he can carry that offense. Like I said, y'all may not believe me, but I really think that he's going to do some good things with that offense. Now we get to the Seattle Seahawks. They didn't have really a lot of draft capital. They only had 3 draft picks. And in these 3 draft picks, they got Dwayne Eskridge. They got Trey Brown, the cornerback from Oklahoma. And then Stone Forsythe, the tackle out of Florida. So they didn't really have a lot to work with in the draft, but they did what they could. Dwayne Eskridge was the wide receiver from, I believe it's Western Michigan. So, like I said, they did what they could. But they were very active in free agency. And they, in my opinion, they had a very quiet free agency. Like, they moved under the radar. But I think Seattle got a lot better, especially on the defensive front. Only question I have with Seattle is just the cornerback position. I don't know what they're going to look like in the secondary besides Aquandre Diggs and Jamal Adams. Besides that, I don't really know how they're going to look at the cornerback position. They did get Akilo Witherspoon, who I believe is a very talented corner. It's just a matter of him putting it all together, him being mentally focused and being able to put it all together out there on the field for 4 quarters. So that's going to be interesting. They got Kerry Hyder on the defensive end. They brought back Benson Mayoa. They brought back Carlos Dunlap. And so you saw Benson Mayoa and Carlos Dunlap. Everything started coming together towards the end of the season for that defense and that defensive line. So bringing them back, that gives them a little bit of continuity. Then they also got Aldon Smith. They went and got Aldon Smith from Dallas. He was a free agent. And so if Aldon Smith can give you what we saw the first, I believe, 4 games from in Dallas, if he can give you that with Seattle, especially with this rotation is going to be crazy because they have enough players to rotate in and out. And if you remember from the Legion of Boom days, that was their big thing. They had a lot of defensive line depth where they could rotate players in and out and keep their players fresh. So you got Aldon Smith, you got Benson Mayoa, you got Carlos Dunlap, Kerry Hyder. Then you also go get, since you lost Jaron Reed to the Kansas City Chiefs, you go get Al Woods from Jacksonville, defensive tackle. So, I mean, they did a lot of things to try to get that defense right. They brought back Chris Carson, and if Chris Carson can stay healthy, I'm telling you, he's going to put together a top 10 season. Chris Carson is one of those running backs that he could be top 10 in the NFL, but the only thing that hurts him is his health. If he could stay healthy and be a healthy running back, then I believe he could be a top 10 running back in the league. But like I said, he stays healthy this year, he's going to have an amazing season. And we're going to see that offense clicking on all cylinders this year if Chris Carson can stay healthy. They also went and got Gabe Jackson from the Las Vegas Raiders. They traded for him, offensive guard. So they're trying to shore up that offensive line to make Russell Wilson happy. They brought back Ethan Posick at the offensive guard position. And then they went and got Gerald Everett. as a free agent. I believe this was a big signing for the Seattle Seahawks. I love Gerald Everett. And not only that, but the new offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks is, he was the former Rams, I want to say running game coach or something like that. So he's the new offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. And so he brings in Gerald Everett, so Shane Waldron. And so this is why I also think that Chris Carson is going to have an amazing year, is because with Shane Waldron, like I said, I think he was the running game coordinator for the LA Rams. And so, or no, he was the pass game coordinator. My bad. Pass game coordinator with the LA Rams. And so I do think that Seattle actually got the running game coordinator from the Rams as well. But Shane Waldron was the passing game coordinator. So with that, you have Gerald Everett, who is very familiar with that playbook, coming over, and he gets the upper hand on the other tight ends that's in the Seattle Seahawks locker room. Also, I don't think they're as athletic as Gerald Everett. I don't think they're as good as Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett's one of those tight ends that if he's given a real chance, I think can be a top 10 tight end in the league. The dude he's athletic as hell. And I mean, he's nice. He's good. Like Gerald Everett, I believe, is good. And I think he's a good pickup for Seattle, along with Shane Waldron in that offense. So beware of Seattle's offense next year. If their defense and their offense are clicking at the same time, because last year the offense was good the first half of the year, and then the defense was good the second half of the year, and the offense was kind of shitty the second half of the year. So if they're clicking all at the same time, that team is going to be very scary. In the NFC West and just all across the NFL. But this is why I think the NFC West is the best division, because all four teams are legit contenders. Like they're legit teams that are bound to make the playoffs. And it'll be crazy if all four teams can make the playoffs, but I could really see them splitting every game against each other. Like I could really see Arizona winning three games in that division, and losing three games in that division. I can see that for every team in this division, where the division record could be tied, because I think all of the teams have that type of talent on their roster to put up or shut up. Like I said, with Arizona, it's just a matter of Cliff Kingsbury being able to get all he can out of that team. And if he can't, he might have to go, because there's enough talent on that roster for them to win games. And not go. Where did they go last year? Because Arizona was my pick last year to go to the Super Bowl. I had picked them and who was it? The Baltimore Ravens to go to the Super Bowl last year. And yeah, that just didn't happen. It didn't happen. But let's see. Let's look at what was their record last year? So their record last year, they were 8-8. And I believe they have enough talent to be better than that. I think they can be a better team than that. San Francisco for damn sure can be a better team than what they were last year. They were just hurt. And the LA Rams, the Rams were what were the Rams last year? They were 10-6. I think they can do 10-7. I think they can do 11-6. I think that's what we can get out the Rams this year. But yeah, best division in football right now, NFC West, mark my words, and they will be the best division in football this season, mark my words. And the Colts play the Seahawks the first week of the season, and we're going to take a dub. We're going to start off 1-0. I already got my bet on that game. We starting off 1-0. Y'all can book that. Book it. But anyway, man, that's all I have for you all. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Go follow your boy on Twitter at DropBallsPod. I have great content on Twitter. I talk a lot of shit, talk with my sports, whatever. During the Olympic Games, I was like, it's crazy how we can come together as a country, scream USA, USA, USA during the Olympics. But any other time, it's like, eh. And it's one of those things where you're in a relationship. You got your problems in that relationship. You deal with those problems internally. But you don't let the outside, well, I guess in USA court or case, the outside sees it. But nobody else can talk about you. Only we can talk about us. And it's, you know, it's us against the world. But we're dealing with our issues internally. And y'all can't talk about it. That's how it is. But like I said, go follow your boy. Follow me on TikTok at DropBallsPod as well. I post, you know, little excerpts from my podcast on there. So be sure to follow your boy on social media platforms. And that's all I had. So until next time, y'all be easy. Peace.